Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
He went out in front of the net, beats with a shot right on, and Miller makes the save.
It comes to center ice. Campbell trying to break it up, and it's cleared in front of the shot right on Miller with a great save. Finneganoff back to Spachuk. Over on the other side, Kotelik scores! One-timer, Al Kotelik. Guns at home on the power play. Buffalo with a 1-0 lead and still with the man at batting. Comes to center ice, racing after it. Here's a Finneganoff with a break. A Finneganoff scores! Maxim Finneganoff turns on the afterburners. Buffalo with a 2-0 lead.
Up to Pominville. Pominville looks for Briere, deflecting, scores! Back in front of the net, 3-0 Buffalo.
Back to the point, a long shot goes wide, rolls to the corner, and the Buffalo Sabres have won their 10th consecutive hockey game.
Tying an NHL record that the Toronto Maple Leafs set back in 1993-94. And Ryan Miller, just wonderful tonight in the nets for the Sabres.
Good morning.
Where are you there?
There we go. We're having some technical difficulties there, I think, this morning.
Yeah, it's probably that 06-07 season we were dealing with last night.
That is probably a very good... What were your thoughts? Great job on the Sabres Twitter last night.
You know what? I feel like after last night, I'm going to retire from Twitter at the age of 40.
Why?
Because I just feel like a 40-year-old man tweeting his thoughts to the world just seems kind of pointless.
No, it is absolutely not pointless. Everything that you said, there was a twist on it because, one, the guy who's sitting there tweeting it out actually played in the game. That's number one. And just knowing the personalities of the players and what was going on, you've been through it before. I thought you did a really good job. It was entertaining.
It was fun. It was fun. Hey, did you see my public my public apology to the fans?
No.
You didn't see what I wrote last night?
No.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you? You're all over Twitter everywhere else, but you don't see. Hold on. Let me pull it up for you. I wrote after the first period. So after I go, first of all, did you see the kid playing last night?
Yes, I did.
I moved all right, eh, for a big guy.
Yeah, happy feet. No question about it. I had to rewind at one point where you came in. Mares, he ended up receiving the puck out by the red line. You came across from the left-hand side. Mersey makes a beautiful little pass just inside the offensive blue line. You walked in and rifled a bullet. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you know why I remember that? Mersey texted me last night and he goes, 06 game on MSG. I just set you up for a beautiful chance.
It was an amazing play.
So I tweeted out from the Sabres account. I wrote, "Dear Sabres fans, I had no business playing in this great league we call the National Hockey League. Sincerely, Andrew Peters."
That's not even funny.
It is hilarious.
No, did it's you, not funny.
Shut up. Did you see that? Did you see that team last night? Like, okay, Riv, you can say whatever you want. And I said it yesterday. That 06 team was arguably people tweeting out, you know, 74, 75, and they were fantastic. They went to the finals. I think the 99 team was way better than people gave them credit for, with even without Dominic Hasek. They might not have been a Stanley Cup finalist team, but they were a much better team than I think a lot of people gave them credit for. Take out Hasek and insert Miller to 99. I think you still go on a really good run. That being said, that team that I watched last night, and it's different when you watch it from afar now. We're 15 years removed, and I'm sitting and I'm watching it on the sofa almost as a fan. Like, I was really looking forward to that game last night, regardless of the fact that I knew the results and that I played in it. But that team that we had, you could insert them in today's game with the exception of a couple players, and I think you're still around top of the league.
I lost you there. Did you just say that team in 2006, you could insert those players into today's game?
I think if you could insert that team into today's game, and I think it would still be one of the tops of the league. Yeah, you didn't lose me. You heard me correctly.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Are you kidding me?
Crazy.
Yeah. You know what? Like, there are days I have so much respect for your opinions in hockey, and then there are days I just think you're just snoozing to argue. Because I can't believe what I'm listening. Did you see Danny? Did you see Max last night? Max Afinaganov in today's game.
Best on guy that, ice.
On that team would have 120 points a year.
Yeah, and he was basically playing against a whole bunch of East Coast Hockey League players. That's what they looked like on the ice. That team you played last night was an absolute embarrassment.
Yeah.
Can you honestly say that? Can we agree on one thing?
Do you think it was the team that we played or how good our team was and the way that we played?
I think both. Okay. I think both. I think that the Sabres 2006 team was a really good hockey team. You guys had a lot of skill. You guys had the right guys up and down your lineup, your defense. I just looked at your defense and I'm like, man, would I like to have a couple of those guys right now on the Sabres. We can't have all these run and gun type players. Like Tony Ludman, he's so calm and collected. He skates well. He moved the puck well. You had Hank Talander, Hank Talander could play in today's game and still be one of the best skaters. And I'm not joking either. Okay. Dmitry Kalinin was outstanding. You have Tempo Neumann that just played the game so well. You got Brian Campbell. I mean, that was a really, really good defense core.
Someone asked me last night, Riv, on that Sabres team. They said, who do you think was the best skater on the team at the time? Who would you say?
Well, it's going to be one of two players. It's either Brian Campbell or it's going to be Hank Talander.
Okay, I responded to Talander.
Yeah, listen, I mean, Petey, he was a freak, man. I mean, I played with a lot of guys in the National Hockey League, and his skating ability and his style, oh, man, I look back to some of these guys, and what I took from last night is, number one, the Islanders were absolutely terrible. Like, I mean, embarrassing. Then you look at the Sabres team, man, I understand what you're saying about the team. Maxa Finneganoff was the best player on the ice. You know why? Because he played pond hockey. There was no structure to his game. He's going up the ice, making dipsy doodles, backhand saucer passes across the ice. He'd get killed doing that in today's game.
What?
But he was amazing at it. Like, he would fit in.
Hold on. Wait, you think Maxi would get killed in today's game? The game is primed for a guy like Max.
No, meaning they wouldn't allow it. They wouldn't allow that stuff that Max does. He is so unorthodoxed with how he plays the game. So who was his line mates? He was playing with who? Danny Briere and he played with Derek Roy and Vanek.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think this, that the guy who had structure on the line was Thomas Vanek. He went up and down his wing. He's a great skater with great skill. Maxi was everywhere. He's behind the net. He's twirling backwards. He does a triple axel, lands. You know, he was all over the place. But he was the most enjoyable guy to watch. He was incredible. But the funny thing is, it's amazing to me how Maxa Vinogradov, who had that skill set and dynamic play, he didn't last in the league because Lindy was like, he was pulling his hair out with him.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, he was. Lindy obviously started pulling his hair out with guys sooner than Max, but that was a guy that Max or that Lindy, I don't know, he really wanted to try to force some structure into his game. I mean, but the problem is, like, that was...
Here's the thing. Does every player have to play with structure? Does every player have to play the same like a robot?
No, and that's why I thought it would be the coach's job to find the right players to play him with so that he can go out and freewheel and be as little of a liability as possible.
Yeah. Was he a liability, though?
No, I don't think so. Depends. Like, with what? Like, if he's blowing the zone? Like, so we're all guilty of this, right? Like, we're all guilty of making mistakes, and we're all guilty for making mistakes with good intention, right? Like, trying to read the play that maybe might not have been there and so on and so forth. And, you know, Maxi was a guy that loved to explode off the wing and come across and try to get that chip pass from the winger off the boards. Or, you know, if there was a little, you know, D to the centerman or D to the wing or whatever, and he could just blow the zone and maybe get a pass through the middle. Yep. But isn't that why you had him? Isn't that why he was that heavy artillery you had in your arsenal? Like, when you're talking about speed and, you know, pushing the defensemen back on their heels and making them play off the blue line a little bit, was because of a guy like that. And that's what he did. That's how he played the game. And I don't know. I look back at it now and I think when you're on the team, there are certain guys that have tendencies that I think grow to frustrate you because of how your coach reacts to it, not even because of what you pick up from it, right? And
yeah.
And I think that's kind of what happened. But I love the way Maxi played. I think he played with fire. I think he played with passion. You know, obviously, I don't think he was nearly as worried about defense as much as offense, which is why I think he excelled statistically in Atlanta when he went there. Yeah. But I love Maxi, man. I really did. And last night was just a classic example of what he was capable of doing. I mean, you see him explode across the ice to pick up that loose puck. That's exactly what I was talking about. Like, that goal he scored in the highlight reel where he went in and went backhand. Did that not look like Pavel Bure?
Yeah, Maxi was I just watched him. And he looked like he was playing at a different pace. He was allowed to do what he wanted to do on the ice. As much as he had no structure whatsoever, you still noticed him all the time with how he attacked with speed. He was insanely, you know, he made a lot of mistakes. There's no question about it. But sometimes I think as a coach, you can't stifle players with that type of abilities. And I think he got stifled here in Buffalo. They wanted him to be more of a robot, be up and down you know, the wing, and that's just not his game.
Well,
but I was sitting there watching. I was just watching, like, you know, the team in general, and you've got Chris Drury as your number one center. You've got Jochen Hecht, who is the most underrated Buffalo Sabre, I think, as far as I'm concerned. And maybe you don't agree with this, but I just think Jochen Hecht is so underrated as a hockey player. It was incredible.
Couldn't agree more.
And then you have Derek Roy, this young rookie whippersnipper that basically played the game not far off a Finneganoff, in the sense that he was all over the place. He was highly skilled, always thinking on the offensive side of the puck. He's looking for that breakdown, that he's looking for the breakaway, you know, so he can go and play offense. And then Paul Gostad, man. I mean, that fourth line with you, Gostad, and Adam Mayer, I mean, that's as good as you're going to get. I absolutely love the way Paul Gostad plays the game. And he was a big factor for you guys. You know, he's just a huge guy. He knew how to play the game properly for the fourth line center. He was as good as you're going to get in this league. Do you not agree?
Yeah, for a role player, absolutely. I mean, penalty killer. Someone asked me last night on the Twitter who was the Sabres' best defensive forward at the time, and by the time I got to that that question, I moved on to another one, and I just forgot to go back. But I almost, like, I think my initial thought was Gostad or Jochen, you know, in terms of what they did and what their roles were on the team. Because after that, I mean, we had a lot of guys with depth scoring. But anyway, it was fun to watch. I mean, it was definitely fun to watch last night and watch the guys play. And it was weird. I can tell you, it was really weird watching myself play. As little as I did, it didn't matter. I mean, it was just weird to see me on the ice because I don't know about you. Like, I can remember moments in games, and I can just – like, there was one time where I came in last night and I stood in front of the net and kind of held the defenseman back there, and I remember thinking, I can remember that actual play in that game. Like, stopping there thinking, like, okay, what do I do next year? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was just really weird, but awesome to see. And tonight you're gonna see I think it's the Scary Good game tonight, Riv. I think that's the one that everyone's gonna see. The other thing I gotta mention is Mattias Samuelsson is going to join us at 10:30, and Elliot Friedman's still gonna join us at 11 o'clock. So we gotta talk to those guys today, and also the Sabres signed Dawson DiPietro. I'm not sure if you saw that.
Yes.
He's another Western Michigan boy. But talking about, I don't know if you, like, how up to date you're staying with, I'm pretty sure all of it, but what's going on around the league. Did you hear about the, I'm trying to find it here. NHL team proposes a lottery tournament to award the first overall pick. Did you hear this?
Yes.
So according to an NHL source, at least one team has submitted a lottery proposal that would include a tournament in which lottery teams play for the first overall pick. I don't know. It sounds radical.
And how in the heck are they going to do that? Throw the damn ping pong balls in the little, you know, little thing there that pops them out. Like, why are they trying to change that? I don't understand. What's the proposal for? What is it trying to do? Make it more exciting? Just play more games? Like,
I have to imagine that when you hear a scenario like that, I have to imagine that the mindset is generate interest from fans, generate excitement from fans, hype up the young prospects. I guess maybe give a little bit of belief to some of these teams. But for me, like, how are you going to ask your players to do this? So this is, I don't want to go out and say that the idea is stupid. Okay. Cause I believe in a scenario like this, if you're thinking outside the box, any idea is a good idea. Okay. Cause yep. If you're coming up with something, it means you're trying to find a solution. However, I just find it very hard to believe that you're going to walk into a locker room and say, okay, boys, here's what's going to happen. We're going to play these games. And if we win them all, one of you will not be back next year, no matter what, probably one of the scabs at the bottom of the roster. And we're going to have this super stud kid come in and take your job. Now, I know it's hard for people to try to fathom that that would even be a predicament. But think about the predicament. Going out there to try to win a game, maybe you might be getting rid of a weak link on your team in terms of what he does for your team, and maybe your team will get better talent-wise. But if that guy's a key piece to your locker room that you're going to be losing that spot to, or he's loved by some of the key players, don't you feel like some of those players are going to be like stabbing a knife in the back of one of their teammates?
I don't even know how to answer that. I mean,
well, does it, I don't know. Is that, tell me honestly, is that not a good, not that is it a good thought, but that's how I would think. I'd be sitting there saying, okay, so if this were my team, let's say for instance, and I'm the fourth line left wing and I'm playing for a job, and I know that nobody out there cares. Okay. No one has any empathy or sympathy for a guy making $400,000, $500,000, $700,000 who might have a job in the league next year, as long as your team is better. But I think that when it comes down to it and you look at the human element and the human aspect to it, you're talking about guys that literally go through like.
You become brothers.
Yeah. Thank you. And I mean, I guess like, and you don't even, there's no guarantee as to which player is going to be off the roster either, because there's contract scenarios, there are guys that just don't play well enough that you can't move. There are
so
guys.
You're talking, what you're saying right now is you're saying that teams are not going to work the way that you think they're going to work to acquire that pick.
I don't know. I just find it hard for players to get up for a game that in the end.
Let me ask it. Be honest with me. If you have a chance to play for the number one pick overall, you know, and I don't know how they're going to structure this, but wouldn't you want that number one pick overall that's going to make your team that much better?
Well, it's such a, I'm sorry. I don't believe it's that easy to answer. I remember the year that Crosby was a stud. And
which year was that? He's been a stud every year.
No, like he was, when he was draft eligible, or there was, maybe it was the Ovechkin year. I can't remember, but we were out of the playoffs. It was 03, 04. And I remember, and I was just new to the league, but I remember guys on our team talking about how they believed they probably wouldn't have cared if management probably wouldn't have cared if we lost all the games through the rest of the season because of the draft picks over the next couple of years. Right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's such a complex question. I think that some of the high end players in the team would be like, yeah, I'd love to play with that young kid. Sure, he'd be great for me. But then there's a bunch of other guys in the team that are kind of like, wait, so we got to go out and win these games so we can win a player? It's interesting. It's definitely a mindset I don't think we've ever seen before. We've never asked our players to do this before, ever.
Well, that's the thing.
Hey, you're the worst team in the league, but go win these two games, and there's a pot of gold at the end of this rainbow for you.
Yeah, but I don't even understand that. Wouldn't it be the exact opposite? Wouldn't you be trying to lose those games so you have the opportunity to pick first?
Well, yeah, that's – I don't – well, like,
I don't understand the proposal. It doesn't make sense to me.
Because basically what they're saying, I think from how I interpret it, because the more I dissect this terrible idea, the more it should just be viewed as no wonder why only one person suggested it. Has to be, I'm going to go figure out the team right now while we're on the phone, because it has to be someone that's They're not dead last because Detroit's saying, no, no, we're not doing that because we got the best odds. So it's not Detroit. Okay.
It's not going to be Ottawa.
It's not going to be Ottawa. I bet you it's San Jose because San Jose, of all those terrible teams, probably is the best team. Or Anaheim.
I would have to say it's a team probably like Arizona that's picking, you know, I don't know, 12th or something, 2, 4, 6, 8. They're picking 10th. I think it'd be a team like Arizona, something where you're in that, you know, you're not 14th, but you're not last as in Detroit, right? I just don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me how they're going to do this, how they're going to propose this, and how they're going to run to see who's going to pick last. Because they obviously don't want to win games. It doesn't make sense.
I would have loved to know the forum in which this idea was proposed. Was it in a meet? Probably not in a meeting room because of COVID-19, right? So could it have been over like a video conference where I'm sure everybody might have closed their laptops a little bit, hit mute, and just kind of like gave a chuckle, like, what is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I mean, it's very difficult to comment on something like this. I love how the NHL are coming up with different ideas of, okay, if we do come back and there's time to play some games in the season, how do we do it? How do we have our playoff format? Is it the 16 teams that make the playoffs, or is it 20, or is it 24, or is it everybody has a chance to get into the playoffs? You know, I like talking about that. I don't think that the NHL wants to give up on the season. They may lose a significant number of NHL games, but maybe they come back, they have their training camp to prepare the players. This could be in the end of July. They might start a bit of the season in August. And, you know, then you play your playoff games. And I don't know how it's going to be run, but I like the idea of having these different formats for playoff implications and everything else. So I like that talk. This talk here, Petey, until you know more information of what this guy is, what this team has proposed, I don't even understand how you can discuss it. Because you certainly don't want to win games. You want to lose the games. Therefore, you get the best pick.
So, I'm just trying to read here. Bubble team. I don't know. It's like basically what it says is without knowing the exact details of the proposal, it would go on that Ottawa and Detroit, based on their odds, would have home ice. Honestly, Riv, I'm done with this topic. We got Matias Samuelsson coming up. You there?
I cannot wait to talk to this young man.
Yeah. You know his dad? You know his dad was Zhell Samuelsson? Did you know that his dad was Zhell?
No, his name is not Zhell. His name's Shell. Nice try, though.
I always heard of it as Zhell. I'm saying not gel, as in like hair gel. I'm saying gel, like nails. No, I didn't say snails, Rock. I said nails. Nails. I said shell. Did you say gel?
Are you completely losing your marbles?
It is. It's day 12 of quarantine. I think I am.
Holy jumping, man. Like, go for a walk outside because you're starting to lose it. You're starting to get concerned. Anyway, we'll have to ask Matias the name of his father. I think it's Shell Samuelsson. You know what? I mean, super excited that this young man is going to start his pro career. You know, he exudes the leadership. He's worn a C for the World Juniors for years. I think he's wearing the C. Where did he go to school? Western Michigan, I think it was.
He's wearing the A. I think he's the first sophomore to ever wear an A.
Yeah, very, very impressive. Very impressive.
Well, let's go to break then so we can talk to him. Talk to you on the other side. Everyone stay tuned. Matthias Samuelsson coming up. Find out how to properly pronounce his name. And Elliot Friedman at 11.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back. Quarantine show number 12, Instigators, Andrew and Craig, WGR 550. Joined on the line right now with Sabres' newest signee, Matthias Samuelsson. Matthias, you're on the line with Andrew and Craig. How are you today, sir?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, another guy sounds thrilled to be doing radio right now. Like, what else do you have to be doing right now, Matthias, that you have to sound so kind of like down in the dumps that you're talking to us?
No, I got nothing going on.
You just signed a contract. You got a bonus check coming. How about you mix in a smile?
I know. I got to.
Let's settle something quickly here. We had a question about how to properly pronounce your father's name. Gel? Or how'd you say it, Riv?
Shell.
Yeah, Shell, like S-H-E-L-L, Shell.
It's exactly what I said, Matthias. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Andrew Peters, correct as usual, Craig.
Honestly.
No, his name's Gel Samuelsson. Gel as in J, as in the gel you put in your hair.
Way to go, Petey.
All right. It's not like that. Anyway, Matthias, let's not make this about us. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, we're hanging in there. What are you doing for the quarantine? Are you where are you? Are you at Western Michigan? Did you go home? Where is home? Do you spend any time in Sweden? What's your schedule like these days?
Home is right outside Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania. But I'm still in at Western. My family decided that like it was best if me and my brother didn't fly through any airports or anything like that. So we're just hanging out here until this all clears over.
Training at all?
We were, and then they closed like all the rinks and stuff. So there's nowhere around here that we could go train. So like we could do stuff like outside or stuff, but we can't like go anywhere, any facilities or anything like that.
So do you and your brother live together?
No. He lives with guys in his class, and then I live with guys in my class. Because, you have to live in the dorms your freshman year, so and we're a year apart, so it just worked out like that.
All right, so what are you doing right now to kind of just stay fit and not lose your marbles? Do you have, like, a certain training regimen just kind of with stuff around the house?
Yeah, I've been going for a lot of runs. It's like the only time I can get some fresh air around here and then, break a sweat. So I feel like somewhat productive, and then just some body weight stuff in the house is about all I can do right now.
So you signed your what was it, yesterday you signed that contract? Is that when we heard the news?
Yeah, yesterday.
Was it an easy decision for you to leave college? Or was it kind of a no-brainer after the season you've had? You're named an assistant captain. You know, you had a good World Juniors. I mean,
whoa, let's hold on there. Are you the captain of the team or are you the assistant?
The assistant.
He was the captain of the World Junior team, Riv. If you did some homework, you would learn. Don't interrupt my interview, please.
All right, thank you.
I don't even remember what the hell I was saying. Was it hard for you to leave?
Yeah. I love this place. I have had a great time the last 2 years, and it wasn't hard for the decision to turn pro. Obviously, You know, if an NHL team wants to offer you a contract, it's hard to say no, but it's hard to leave this, a place that you like so much. So I'd say yes and no. I mean, obviously, it's super exciting to start your pro career, but to leave something that you love is pretty hard, too.
Great. What can you tell us about your teammate, Dawson DiPietro?
Doss, he's a character. He's a good guy. He's really funny. He gets along with pretty much everybody. And then on the ice, obviously, he's a threat when he has the puck. If you give him time and space to generate some speed, he's pretty good offensively. So I'm excited to see how his game transitions into pro hockey. He has really good speed and works in college hockey really well for him. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's a great addition, and he's definitely an offensive threat.
What was it like playing for Andy Murray? I've heard amazing things about Andy Murray, but one of the things I've heard about Andy Murray is he's one of the most detailed coaches you'll ever meet and play for.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't know. When I first got here, I don't think I knew what I got myself in for. My dad played for Andy Murray way back in the 90s when Andy was an assistant coach in Philadelphia, so that's how they knew each other. So my dad basically said, if you go to Western, he'll transform your game. Like, he'll give you so much detail, and, like, he'll drive you nuts sometimes, but it'll be so good for you. And, like, I now looking back on it, I love playing for Andy Murray, but there's times when, like, you were just so sick of it. But he does that on purpose. He drives you crazy, so, but he's an awesome coach. He's a great guy off there. He's an awesome coach. People have stories about him being like psycho and stuff, but I don't know. His details are definitely over the top. And
I had the ability to play for Andy Murray in the World Championships in 2003, and I was told that he was a little bit insane when it came to the structure and details, but I mean, He was a coach that I only had for 2 weeks, but I remembered him because it was unlike any other coach I've ever had. I mean, there was slips slid under your door every single morning that you had to read. He was just so detailed in everything he did. The practices, when he said the practices were 38 minutes, they were 38 minutes. I mean, and then everything shut down and guys were off the ice. It was pretty incredible.
Oh yeah, he still does that. He has the exact minute of practice. Well, the hardest part for me was coming from the program. It was like the program, there's a lot of detail and stuff, but it's mostly skill development. So it's not as much like positioning and stuff like that. So when I went from that to this, like, my first couple of weeks here with him on the ice was definitely a wake-up call.
Well, let me ask you this. Tell me, how did he transform your father's game? And was your father right when he said that he'll transform your game? And if so, how did he transform your game? Like, what were you when you went to Western, and what are you now?
I think just small details everywhere on the ice. You know, like stuff that like a normal fan may not notice, but like in the grasp of things, it's important. Like your just footwork and positioning and like the way to put your stick and stuff like that, or like where to be on the ice, just like a couple, maybe like a foot or two over, just like really small details, but they make the biggest difference. And once you do them and you see how they work, like you realize like this guy's right. Like this guy, I should probably listen to this guy a little more.
Well, so let me ask you this then, okay? So, and again, you're in a very unique situation because
going on in the world.
You're big like your father. You know, you're a defenseman like your father. You played for a coach that your father played for, and you talk about listening to him. Well, what about your dad? Is it easier to listen to somebody else other than your own parent? Because your dad clearly has the experience, 813 games, Stanley Cup, 123 playoff games. He had a hell of a career. And is it easier to listen to somebody else than it is your own father who played that position?
I mean, my dad's always been there for me. you know, I don't think I'd be where I am today without him. He's taught me almost everything I know. So, I mean, still to this day, like, if I have a question or there's something happening in the game, and I'll talk to him about it and get his advice or anything like that. Like, he's still, like, he's basically, like, he's my father, but he's also, like, one of my development coaches, if that makes sense. Like, I still go to him, he still helps me.
Oh, it makes total sense. Well, are you living near your parents then in the off season? I guess when you get out of Western, will you go home and spend the summer with your family, or do you have your own place near your mom and dad? I mean, how often are you seeing your family?
I'll go home and live in my house. I haven't seen my parents very often the last couple of years, just like World Juniors and stuff. I haven't gone home for Christmas in the last 2 years, so it's been pretty difficult. And then Andy likes us training here in the summers to get ready for the season, so I've only been home for a couple of weeks in the last 2 years.
Have you spoken to, obviously you signed your contract, but have you spoken to Jason Bottrell, and have you guys had the conversation about, you know, obviously when this coronavirus is all said and done, on a timetable of when you both think you'd be ready to step into the NHL?
No, I have not had that conversation yet.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
so when you're talking about your game, you know, there's obviously things that you do very well, and there's things that you're going to need to improve on. So the things that you do well, can you describe the things that you do well that has made you the second round draft pick, and things that you need to improve on now that you're going to move into the pro ranks?
I think I shut plays down really well. I mean, I play a physical style of game. I think I move, like, one of my big things is just moving the puck north. Let the forwards do their job. Give them the puck, facilitate it. Yeah, I think I'm just like a hard guy to play against for the opposing forwards. I mean, if you're making their life miserable to play against all night, then you're doing your job. So, and then things I need to work on. I mean, obviously I still need to get stronger. I mean, the AHL are a whole new level. So there's that. And then, I mean, with how fast the game is nowadays, I think you just need to continue to work on your foot speed and try to get faster every off season.
All right. Well, we'll let you go for time's sake, both yours and ours. But before we let you go, give us your most, I guess, regular activity while you're going through this quarantine.
Ooh, I'm a big movie guy. I watched the Harry Potter series, watched a couple other series. So that's what I've been up to.
Well, have you seen the Rocky movies yet?
Yeah, I have.
Like, what's an old school movie? Like, for example, you're what, 20, 21? So, like, what year is considered an old movie for you?
Ooh, I don't know, probably like late 90s.
What?
I don't really go past the 90s unless it's like Star Wars or something.
Okay, well, you brought up Star Wars. I'll give you one movie before we sign off. Go enjoy it. It's called Spaceballs. All right? Ask your dad.
Don't bother, man. Don't bother. Absolutely.
Ask your dad about it. Go into it with an open mind. It's a mockumentary. And then there's another one you should watch. It's called Spinal Tap. Go enjoy yourself. There's 4 hours of entertainment. And we look forward to seeing you at training camp whenever that is.
All right. Thank you very much.
You got it, man. Take care. Thanks for your time today. All right. That was Matias Samuelson, kind enough to join Craig and Andrew here. He just signed his contract yesterday. So big news for him. I don't know that was, I think we knew he'd sign, Rib. I didn't know that he'd be signing this, not this quickly, but I guess in these times, right? I didn't know that these things were panned out yet, but we'll talk
more. Listen, I mean, he had a solid season this year. I think he's made big strides in his game. People need to understand that he's not a Rasmus Dahlin that's going to be flying up the ice with the puck and joining the attack all the time. He's a big, strong, physical defender. that understands his game, and he does it exceptionally well. And he's actually what we need. We need some size, and we need some physicality, and we need a guy that actually wants to play defense first.
He's got the nice deep voice too, eh? He's got the deep voice. Like, you can tell he's coming from high above.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. In fact, you know who I thought I was talking to at first? I honestly thought if I closed my eyes, I thought I was talking to Nick Tuzzolino from the Buffalo Junior Sabres.
Yes, Nick Tuzzolino's got a great voice.
Sounded just like him. All right, we got to go. We'll be back next segment, 11 o'clock. Elliot Friedman going to join us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Andrew Peters, Craig Reve, doing our thing from our homes. How you holding up over there, big fella?
I think this is great. I've actually really enjoyed this.
We were actually just saying at the break, and I got to tell you something honestly. I don't think that I was kidding with what I said to you at the break. I don't like talking to you before a show. I've learned this. Because I just get so much more out of you when I haven't seen you and spoken to you.
All right. I don't even know how to take that, but, I'm going to take it as a compliment.
as you should. It should only ever be a compliment. Speaking of a compliment, we got a hell of a guest coming up next. What specifically do you want to ask him? I think I really want to go hard at the proposal for the playoff for the number one pick, see if he knows who came up with that idea. But then I think there's a lot of other things we can approach with him too. So what are you thinking?
That is going to be one of them. That's for sure. Because I just want to know, like, I don't think the season is lost. That's just my impression. Everybody else said, cancel the season. Just do this, just do that. I think that we just need to take this, take a step back, allow this situation that we're all in, play itself out a little bit longer. It's going to be, who knows? It could be a couple more months, but that still puts us into June, July, August. I still think that there's time that a season possibly can be played a little bit of the season, and we can still crown a Stanley Cup champion. That might mean that we might have to push back the 2000-2021 season, but I'm okay with that.
Did you see what he wrote about Eichel?
No.
Who do you think Jack Eichel's toughest critic is in his life?
Himself.
His father. And some of the quotes about his dad being his toughest, the toughest critic, how his father measures success. Winning. That's why Jack is so frustrated after losses. I truly believe if they lose 4-3 in regulation, he has all three goals. I truly believe he's pissed off. It's not an act. I really do. Because otherwise I would feel like he would think, or his father would think, that his three goals went to waste.
Yes, and here's the other thing. I think you need to kind of look at, when you look at an 18-year-old Jack Eichel and the way that he presented himself after losses and being in a tough situation, I don't think Jack Eichel's lost very much in his life. He is an elite hockey player that has probably been a player that could determine the outcome because he was so highly skilled. He was so dynamic. Even playing at older age groups, I'm sure Jack dominated. They probably won a lot more than he lost. He's probably the kid that went in spring hockey and he won tournaments and everything else. Now Jack's 18 years old. He's still a kid.
Yeah.
He's 18 years old and he's never lost before. So he didn't know how to deal with it. So he's come a long way in his maturity. He's not a kid anymore. And believe me, he's not quitting. Jack's not quitting, but you can see that he's really matured as a player and as a person.
All right, let's talk to Elliot. He also had he has a conversation in here about Yzerman and Dylan Larkin.
Whoa!
Right up your alley, Riv. So we'll start with the playoff, the lottery playdowns. We got to go to break. When we come back, Elliot Friedman, the man, the myth, the legend, will join us.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.